1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Russian President Vladimir Putin's in Crimea, marking the anniversary of Russia's annexation. He's visited a school and a children's center, likely in response to the International Criminal Court Friday issuing a warrant for his arrest on war crimes regarding the movement of children out of Ukraine. The ICC's Pyotr Hofmansky said,
"The judges of the chamber dealing with this case decided to make the existence of the warrants public in the interest of justice and to prevent the commission of future crimes."
Russia called the warrant void. Former President Donald Trump posting on his Truth social media site said he was going to be arrested Tuesday and called for his supporters to protest. ABC News has not verified this claim. A Trump spokesman said there's been no indication of an arrest. This is in regards to the payments made to adult actress Stormy Daniels. Wyoming's governor on Friday signed a bill that bans abortion medication in the state, effective in July. This is ABC News. Torrential rain in California has caused flooding and threatened major agricultural centers in the state. Tulare County, the most significant dairy-producing area of the country, is seeing flood waters. At the Dykstra Dairy Farm, Johnny Dykstra said some of those waters could be approaching about 8,000 cows.
"If this water crosses over this levee and gets inside the facility, we won't be able to get it out, and it'll start encroaching on where these animals are housed, and we'll have to be looking at an evacuation. Because if the water gets in, there's not going to be any way to feed our cows or keep them safe and dry."
He said some farmers in the area risk the loss of their business. Furman and Princeton, the big Cinderella stories of the first day of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. They'll try to advance to the Sweet 16 today. That'll be tomorrow's objective for one of the biggest Cinderella stories in history, New Jersey's Fairleigh Dickinson, which became just the second 16 seed to ever beat a number one seed, beating Big Ten champions Purdue last night. They'll play Florida Atlantic on Sunday. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, folks, keep her moving to Civic Media every Saturday and Sunday at noon for the Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens.
We've been out here all day. We've had 5 or 6 beers and only one fish.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
I'm a radical feminist polyculturist, but my background is I have a master's degree in environmental science from the Gaylord Nelson Institute at UW-Madison. I'm a mother of 4, and I spend my time growing the best possible food on land that's never been contaminated, either heirloom or indigenous varieties, and I go out and connect with people in my region that want to have food as medicine. And at the same time, I go out as the director of the Sacred Waterland Institute and talk about issues, salient issues spanning across Fraxan, energy, agriculture, community rights laws and rights of nature, which I have banners here about rights of nature. These are ordinances that give rights to, or you could go to court on behalf of a tree or something.
So,
but anyway.
So you do exactly what I'm talking about constantly, and that's about the fact that we live in a nation that is poisoning the population.
Hell yeah.
And yet it's legal.
Right.
And so I don't understand why we live in a society that refuses to address the real issues that impact the American people on a daily basis. I don't care whether you live in rural America or whether you live in urban America.
Yep.
The fact, or whether you live in California or whether you live in Florida, the food is being poisoned, and people are aware of it, and I'm so cynical a person that I believe that if we have a for-profit healthcare system, what they're looking for is sick people.
I agree with that. I had the same thoughts.
I'm just saying, and and so, how is it possible that we have a government that is aware, even in baby food,
right?
The fact that they put lead in baby food, and yet the American people aren't aware of any of these things. We just accept that our corporations are going to do the right thing, and yet the corporations aren't doing the right thing. We have people who are supposed to be there and to check them and make sure that they're doing the right thing. But a person like you who understands it, who gets it, what do you want to say to our listening audience about why you do what you do?
Well, like I said, I went into the halls of higher learning, and I learned that it's a culture of experts that teach people to not use their critical thinking skills to understand what's right in front of their face. All I'm going to say is now, don't believe anything they tell you. Okay, there's 100,000 different chemicals out there that the EPA allows to be used. Only 20 of them have ever gone through any testing. There's 20,000 food additives, and only 20 have ever gone in any testing. They can bring in new additives under generally recognized as safe, and the corporations do their own watchdogging. So our government has been completely bought by the corporations. We cannot trust our government, and we cannot trust the corporations. The only people we can trust is ourselves and our community. Now, if we're going to look at toxins in food, my advice would be, and I've been saying this for decades now, I started activism in my 20s. I'm almost 60 right now. So what I do is I talk to people about reaching out to local farmers and having conversations with them. Obviously, you don't want chemical intensive agriculture, and say, there's a group of us here, we'll buy X, Y, and Z from you. If you grow it from us, we'll take it. Because the farmers don't want to take all the risk. They've already got the risk of the weather. They've got the risk of the vagaries of the market. They've got a risk of trying to go out and find somebody to buy their stuff. Trust me, I have 100 products. I have a polycultural farming operation, and I'm struggling, and I grow the best food on the planet. My food is so pure that it's medicine, man. You eat it, and you get healthier. There's no chemicals in it. I make my own fertilizers out of my horse manure and fish from the Great Lakes. There's nothing in there. And that's what everybody should have access to. So if you live in an urban area, you should have access to a piece of land. You could grow your own food, detoxify it first, because urban areas have gotten all this crap thrown on them. And there's ways to bioremediate soil. You can use fungus, you can use plants, you can use lots of stuff.
So you don't grow livestock?
I don't what?
Livestock.
Oh, I do. I have turkeys, chickens, horses, and okay. I just use their manure in my fields.
So when you look at what's really behind all of this, the corporate farms that have been allowed to come in and destroy and take away the livelihoods of the average everyday person, poison the water, poison the land, and yet that's okay. That's legal.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the American people trust. They trust. They don't know. And so, how is it possible that we can believe that our government would do such an atrocious thing?
Uh-huh.
Poison the American people, and the American people are not aware of any of those things.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So you do your thing, and that's beautiful, and I'm honored that you are on the air. I'm going to reach out to you because I'm only on the air today, but I'm for this hour, but I'm on the air 3 days, 5 days a week, 3 hours a day. So I'm going to reach out to you for an extended period of time where we can have some real dialogue.
I would love that. That'd be great.
About what's happening. But across the state, people are listening to us.
Right.
What do you say? How do people then begin to protect their children? Because, again, they poisoned the people from cradle to the grave.
Yeah. That's for sure. Well, there's a lot of different ways. You can be aware and you can try to purify your food or find good places to get it. But a lot of people don't have that. They live in what they call food deserts.
Right.
They can't even get out there to get the good food. And they necessarily have to take what's right in front of them. It's a form of, I wouldn't call it racism, but it's a form of bigotry towards the people that don't have the means, right? We're collateral damage to the industrial complex. That's all we are.
So I've always wondered, why is it that I have to look on the back of a package and words that I can't even pronounce, that stuff is in the food,
yeah,
and I'm supposed to figure out if that's good for me or not?
Right. Yeah. Basically, you want as few ingredients as possible, and if you really want to know if food's good, it's got to rot in a couple days. Because if it doesn't rot, your gut can't even digest
it. So when we hear people talking about organic food, right?
Uh-huh.
And so you say, the food's organic. And we say, we run to the organic aisle, and it looks like it's dying. Mm-hmm. When you go into the grocery store, mm-hmm, and you look at the organic food, and it looks horrible.
A little beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can go into the area where I see an orange, and it is perfect.
Uh-huh.
And it's the color is so,
uh-huh,
and you say, that's the one I want.
Right on.
And then you open it up. And there's no juice in the orange because they've created this, they've manufactured this. It's not something that the creation, part of the creation,
mm-hmm,
with the sun and all of those,
mm-hmm,
things,
right,
that give you the nutrients that you need. It doesn't have that, but it certainly looks like.
Well, thank you for giving me that story, because our government is the orange. It looks like it's,
yeah,
good. It looks shiny. It looks like it's going to give,
yeah,
it what I need. But when you open it up, there's nothing inside.
Yeah.
So if you can remember that, just remember, our government is a GMO orange, okay?
You know, so how do you then, you decided to do this, and it's a big undertaking, right? You've been,
right,
farming all your life?
Yeah, I grew up in a dairy farming community, and all those farms were sold, and my family lost all their land because of messing with the milk prices.
Yeah.
And then my grandfather and grandmother's land was sold to a great big pig farm, and my grandmother and my mother and father were sprayed with pig manure. So that's where I came from. I came from watching this crap happen, literally.
So how do you compete? You know, it's not like it was before, and you're up against corporate farming.
Mm-hmm.
How does a small person like yourself compete?
First of all, you keep your overhead low, so I don't have a lot of infrastructure. First of all, I own my own house. I heat with wood. I grow all my own food. So I keep my costs way down. Plus, my whole life is not mediated on currency. My life is mediated on social relations, bartering,
beautiful,
exchange. I don't want the commodification to be the center of my consciousness, right? So our lives can be so much more richer if we step back from that.
You know, Julie, I'm you're a perfect person for what I like to talk about.
Awesome.
Right? Constantly.
Great.
Because people ask me, why do I hate our country? And I said, it's not a matter of me hating our country, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the country is more than corporations,
right,
it's us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And yet we somehow believe that those corporations are going to do the right things for us, right? I don't know how an average, everyday person thinks that these multilateral corporations are somehow going to be looking out for the best interests of you and your
family.
Can
I say something about
that?
Absolutely. In a corporate charter, the very thing that they serve is their stockholders. There is no social responsibility in a corporate charter. So don't have any faith in them. They're not organized that way. It's like going to see a doctor who signed a statement that he's a murderer. Are you going to go see him? No. I mean, they're not going to serve you. You need to build your communities. You need to have conversations, learn to talk to each other, have good critical thinking skills. Deal with conflict, have nonviolent conflict resolution. I mean, there's all these things that we could be doing that we're not doing. I don't know how we've gotten
so
there.
So we need an army of people like you.
Not an army.
Yeah.
Like a flock.
No,
okay?
we need an army. We need an army of people like you because to feed the people
righteously.
Right. Yeah. The right food that they need is going to take people like you. You're up against, you know, an unbelievable machine that has the finances to advertise, to make things seem, you know, what they're really not.
Right, and then
the worst part about all of it is the politricksters.
Right, exactly.
Politricksters.
Yep. Yep.
We need to take back.
Yeah, I know. We need to take back our thought sovereignty, the ability to think for ourselves,
right,
and understand the BS when it comes at us. You know what I'm
saying? Well, but the people again trust the politrickster.
Oh, geez.
That person comes to them and says, "I'm going to look out for you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that, and I'm certainly going to make sure that the food is right, and we're going to make sure that the water's not. That we are being poisoned.
It's all lies.
Sacred water."
Yep.
They're poisoning all the water.
I know. And not only the surface water, now it's in the aquifer.
And so here, it's like we all know, and we have a nation that goes around the world and says, we've got to make sure there's clean water in the jungle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We know the dangers, inherent dangers of it not being clean water. And so we put all this money in. We're going to make sure the people have clean water in different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But here in our own country, water's not clean.
Mm-hmm.
People drink bottled water, and they think this is it.
Can I make a comment on bottled water?
You can make
anything
you want to
say. Bottled water is not regulated. I read a story about a guy who was bottling water right next to a Superfund site and it had radioactivity in it. Do not trust bottled water, and do not trust the fact that plastic sheds off the inside of those plastic bottles and you're drinking plastic.
So let me say this. Miss Julie Deleteri. You are an angel.
Well, that's nice to say.
And so, because people may not listen to me and they think that, well, he's just a talk show host. He's doing this for entertainment. But I'm never doing it for entertainment. I'm doing it because people have to be educated.
Right.
Right? And if they're not educated, there's a system in this country where money has more value than people.
Right.
I'm just sorry. It's... Mm-hmm. People don't want to hear that, but in this country, the goal is for people. He who has the most toys in the end wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
That belief. But we don't care who we harm or hurt.
But guess what? That's all crap, too, because they've done studies on, are people any happier after they get their basic needs met? Their happiness level doesn't go up much more. So there's a term for this. It's called the hungry ghost or the wetico. It's an individual that is never satisfied. So it isn't even like they get a lot of happiness out of having more of that.
No.
It's a mental disease. It's a psychosis. It's a corporate psychosis. The people that run these entities, there's something wrong with up here, right? Okay, so now I'm going to say there is a pushback against this through the pushing of community-based laws, and so I'm involved in that. There's the Rights of Nature movement, and there's the community rights movement, where you pass ordinances, local laws, that take the power away from the corporations and put it back into the hands of the local people. So I have model ordinances. I'm working with a guy who wrote a book, Dr. Paul Cienfuegos. Not doctor. He should be a doctor. Anyway, his book is on my table over there for sale for people. But anyway, he walks you through how to pass local laws.
So I want to say one last thing before we go to break. I'm glad that you aren't in radio. I wouldn't have a job. it is so nice meeting you, and we're gonna reconvene this. Uh-huh. At a different time, I promise you.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Got to go. That's
well,
none other than
Miss
Julie Deleteri.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
We all know the famous ride. The poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. always on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, a special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I am excited and honored to be at Wisconsin Grassroots Festival. It's been about, I think the last time I was here was about 2019, here in Mazelmany. And, you know, COVID kind of took away those other years that we would have normally been here. But we're here now. There's a tremendous crowd, and I'm honored that I've been invited to participate once again. And so I saw a familiar face from Milwaukee who I've seen around for many years.
Yeah, many years.
And who has certainly been a guy who is on top of things that are going on. And so I want to introduce none other than Mr. Jim Carpenter to the listening audience. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's always good to have you on the air, man. You know, I've been around a little while doing this.
Yeah, I know you have.
And
I've seen you around.
Yeah. So listen, so you wanted to talk a little bit about Ukraine.
That's correct.
So anybody who listens to my show on a daily basis knows that I spend a lot of time talking about Ukraine and where we are.
Yeah.
And people need to, as a matter of fact, this past Friday, I talked about the fact that Poland is giving four MiG-29
right.
jets to Ukraine. And I forgot the name of the other nation that's doing that. All these things are escalating.
That's correct.
They're escalating something that I think the American people aren't really aware of in the inherent dangers of the escalation of this war. Your thoughts?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct. It's escalating, and it has to de-escalate. There is no military solution to this war. Mark Milley, chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said there is no military solution to this war. We need to go to the negotiating table.
Yes.
And if we try to have a military victory for Ukraine, we run the risk of a nuclear war. So let me quote from President Kennedy. He gave a commencement speech a long time ago, back in 1963. And he talked about this very problem we're in today. He talked about a war where both sides have nuclear weapons. And, of course, Ukraine doesn't have nuclear weapons, but we're in this war. We're part of this war. We're providing Ukraine with money, with weapons, with intelligence, right, with training. So this is a proxy war between the United States and Russia and between the West and Russia. And this is what Kennedy said in his commencement speech. Above all, while defending our own vital interests, nuclear powers must avert those confrontations which bring an adversary to a choice of either a humiliating retreat or a nuclear war. So that's what we're concerned about here. Are we going to try to force this into a situation where Russia has either a humiliating defeat or use of nuclear weapons? Because if they're in a desperate position, if a rat's in a corner in a desperate position, you may have the unthinkable happen, and we want to avoid that.
So I've said to people over and over again that there's a couple Congress people who said that they're supporting Ukraine because they're doing the work that we want to see done. They're exhausting Russia's military, which is absolutely insane. If you felt that way,
right,
why would you even say it? Right.
I mean, so the question, you know, is this well, I think this war is being fought on multiple levels. On one level, it's truly Russia's invasion of Ukraine, trying to take more territory, doing terrible things, mass murder. That's true. But it's also about dominance. Is the West going to dominate, or is there going to be a multipolarity domination in this world? And I think that part of this war is a proxy war between, again, the West, NATO and the United States and Russia, to see who's going to be military dominant on this planet. And that is a contest that does not have a good outcome. And so I Earl, I don't know if you would agree with that this is a war that's being fought on two different levels here. One is about taking territory from Ukraine, but the other is about dominance, and that may explain some of the things that has happened leading up to the war.
Well, so if the American people really understood that the Ukrainians and the Russians are brothers.
That's right.
So this is really an internal
right
fight. And so when I hear people say, well, we need to be there to preserve democracy, I say, well, you know, then are you going to be trying to preserve democracy all over the world? Because there are issues similar to that. And to what degree are we willing to continue? Excuse me. There's no way that Ukraine can ever defeat Russia.
That's right.
Russia is the second most powerful military in the world.
Right.
Russia has over, 500,000 people.
Right.
Ukraine has 144,000 people.
Yeah.
How is it possible
right
that they can ever overcome or ever defeat Russia? They can't.
Yes, exactly.
And especially at some point in time, we're not going to be able to continue to supply them the weaponry they're going to need to ever defeat Russia.
Right.
Right?
That's correct.
And as you stated earlier, the more we get involved, the more we get engaged, Russia's not going down easy. They understand. There are people that are willing to use those weapons if at a last resort.
That's right.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have them.
That's right.
I mean, come on.
That's, yeah, so if you don't want to force Russia into that position about, I mean, as you said, well, they may never be forced into that position of a humiliating defeat because Ukraine, of course, is not anywhere close to being as powerful as Russia. But the West could get involved, and then the West plus Ukraine could be enough to force Russia into.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Russian President Vladimir Putin's in Crimea, marking the anniversary of Russia's annexation. He's visited a school and a children's center, likely in response to the International Criminal Court Friday issuing a warrant for his arrest on war crimes regarding the movement of children out of Ukraine. The ICC's Pyotr Hofmansky said,
"The judges of the chamber dealing with this case decided to make the existence of the warrants public in the interest of justice and to prevent the commission of future crimes."
Russia called the warrant void. Former President Donald Trump posting on his Truth social media site said he was going to be arrested Tuesday and called for his supporters to protest. ABC News has not verified this claim, but Trump's spokesman said there's been no indication of an arrest. This is in regards to the payments made to adult actress Stormy Daniels. Wyoming's governor on Friday signed a bill that bans abortion medication in the state, effective in July. This is ABC News.
Oh my gosh, it's more fun than a big block of Colby or cheddar. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Helping smaller communities that depend on private wells and groundwater is the aim of a new measure introduced this week by Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin. The Healthy H2O Act will provide grants for water testing and help in purchasing systems to remove or significantly reduce the levels of PFAS. The so-called forever chemicals are increasingly being found in wells in Wisconsin and across the country. Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler will continue at that post for a second two-year term after being re-elected in private by her fellow justices this week. The court did not release a vote breakdown. On the court since 2007, Ziegler is part of the four-justice conservative majority. On April 4th, voters will choose between liberal judge Janet Protasiewicz and conservative former justice Daniel Kelly. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at LLS.org.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Martin Luther King. And of course, Martin Luther King was this great civil rights leader. A lot of people don't appreciate the fact that it was extremely anti-war. He talked about the Vietnam War and how terrible that was. And he believed that towards the end of his life that you cannot use violence to pursue justice, not just within a country, but between countries. And he made this famous statement, we either choose nonviolence or non-existence. So nonviolence or non-existence. I think the human race is at that crossroads right now where we go nonviolence or non-existence because we're close to having a nuclear war if this thing gets out of hand in Ukraine.
You know, this is as close as we've been to a nuclear war since the Bay of Pigs.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
And you know, and so I always say there was a time when they had the SALT treaties.
Right.
Right? And those were treaties between the United States and Russia. And it was there because of the misguided men that I quoted from Dr. King, that we knew, and those people knew because they were closer, and many of them remembered Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Right.
And they never wanted to ever see that again.
Right.
And so there are many people who are around now and engaged and involved in things who are too young to ever have remembered or knew anything about Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
That's right. They never weren't alive when it happened, so it's hard for them to realize that a nuclear war could destroy the human race.
And the weaponry, and that was archaic,
right.
Nuclear weaponry.
Exactly.
The nuclear weaponry that they have right now is just unimaginable.
Yeah,
right?
So we had the SALT strategic arms limitation talks. It brought down a number of nuclear weapons, but we still have enough weapons to destroy the world many times over.
Right.
In fact, as you may know, there's a plan to spend $2 trillion over the next 30 years creating a new generation of nuclear weapons. The Democratic Party had it in their platform. We don't need this. However, when Biden won the election and the Democrats were in power, they are proceeding with $2 trillion in more nuclear weapons.
So Jim, I want to thank you very much, man. I'll reach out to you during the week. And we'll get you on the air. We'll have some real time to spend with you talking about it.
I'd love to,
okay.
Earl. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right. So thank you, Jim. My next guest is coming, and I wish I had a little more time to spend with my guest, but I'm locked into an hour today. And so we'll do everything that we can to bring on as many people as we possibly can. And so let me introduce my next guest, ma'am.
Pam Richard, and I'm work with Jim Carpenter. I'm the office manager for Peace Action Wisconsin, and I'm also in the Alliance for Nuclear Accountability.
Oh, you are you?
Yes. So you had a perfect segue into what you were just talking about with Jim. And I wanted to talk about that plan, the $2 trillion modernization program.
And before we go there, let's give the listening audience a definition of what Peace Action stands for.
Sure. So we've been around since about 1977. We started out as the SANE Nuclear Freeze, then we became the Mobilization for Survival. And then we joined with a national alliance of peace organizations called Peace Action. And we have a center in Milwaukee on Keefe and Weill, and we have various programs there. And so people are welcome to come there during the week. I'm there most days.
So it's kind of amazing that we have to talk about peace. As human beings, we know we're only on this planet for a short period of time, and we have more in common than we don't have in common. Why should we even have to talk about peace?
Well, because there's a big profit motive in our country, and that's, I think, a very major reason why we have continuing wars, that people make money off of war. And in the nuclear weapons industry, they're making billions of dollars.
You know, you talk about the upgrading of nuclear weapons. I know it began under then-President Barack Obama. He had a process or a plan that they wanted to upgrade the nuclear weapons under the SALT treaties.
The new START?
Yeah, but before the SALT treaties, before the START treaties came, they had the SALT treaties.
Right.
And what they did with that was we were eliminating nuclear weapons in our arsenal, the United States and Russia. And many of us had outdated nuclear weapons, and they were concerned about them, big cumbersome weapons. And now they've been able to create weapons that I mean this tongue in cheek, that they can put on a pin, on the head of a pin. I mean, it's just insanity.
No, these lower yield nuclear weapons they're talking about are maybe a little less than Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but they could still destroy a city.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Yeah.
No question.
But the
technology
weapons
and the delivering, the way they deliver them now is a lot. You don't, in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they had a B-2 bomber that was dropped it from so high up in the air. Now they've got different modes and methods of delivering these nuclear weapons.
That's right. We have land-based missiles.
Yeah, they can put it in a suitcase here.
Well, the weapons that would destroy a city are a bit bigger, but we have 400 land-based missiles, and they want to double that arsenal. And now that Russia and the U.S. have walked away from the New START treaty, which Obama did negotiate and get for us, and Trump has walked away from, and so has Putin, we are going to be seeing a doubling of our nuclear arsenal. And that's where the $2 trillion plan has come in. And this has been planned even before Obama. I just don't want to put it on Obama. This has been in the plan for a long time to get more money from nuclear weapons. In fact, when the nuclear weapons defense contractors invest a dollar, they get up to $27,000 in return. So they're making billions and billions. There's so much waste, fraud, and abuse. They're building a new building down in South Carolina. And they started out, they were going to recycle some nuclear fuel. They spent $7 billion. The building didn't work, but nobody got punished for it. So now they're repurposing this building. They're going to spend another $11 billion on it. It will be $20 billion, and that will be the most expensive building in the history of the Earth.
So here's what people need to really understand. We're here at Wisconsin Grassroots. This is a rural festival. We talk about what's happening in the rural areas in this country where people are struggling. But here we have a military budget that's almost $1 trillion a year. And yet there's no money to help people and make sure that people have health insurance, to help people send kids to early childhood or daycare and those kinds of things that people need at a time like this, because of the fact that all the jobs have been taken overseas. And so,
not only that, they've been put into these defense industries, which are not in the inner cities. They are in, a lot of them are in suburban areas or rural areas. The money is not evenly distributed. And there have been huge cuts in mental health programs, in housing programs, in programs, the SNAP program. We're seeing these cuts to pay for these new nuclear weapons. And for instance, the delivery systems, the F-35 jet that they're bringing to Wisconsin, each of those costs $90 million. There's another aircraft that costs $555 million, and they're buying 20 of them.
So you brought up the fact that the SNAP programs, $80 a month, have been cut from people who are struggling, children and the elderly.
At a time when inflation.
Who are on these SNAP programs, and I think it's because the American people really aren't aware of it, right? I don't think they are aware of the fact that they say people want these handouts. What's more of a handout than what we're spending on the military-industrial complex, the corporations, the politricksters, politicians, who are being paid by lobbyists to make sure that they make these decisions? I've always said that politrickster would not be in a position to sit down with a lobbyist had you and I not voted for them. And yet they have to make a decision whether or not they're going to support the people who voted for them or for the military-industrial complex. That shouldn't even be a question.
No, it
should. If we put you in office, who should you be accountable to? The people. But the people aren't aware of those things, and they get away with those kind of things, and that's why it's good to have people like you on the air. That's how we educate people.
Yes.
People, and I'm not saying that they need to know all of these things. It's tough enough when you got a family and you're struggling today to feed your family, to keep a roof over your head, with the costs soaring the way that they are. And so it's hard to get caught up in politics. But that still doesn't mean that we shouldn't make sure that the people are educated on what is taking place, right?
That's correct. And also these defense industries is a jobs program with huge amounts of money. And people may have only that alternative to look for a job in the defense industry. It's a very corrupt system.
You know, we come from a time, you and Jim and I, we come from a time back during the Vietnam War and the protests that the American people did outwardly. You saw it. We sent a message to our government that we weren't happy with what was going on. We need some of that.
Yes, we do.
Right? We need that. We need a visible protest with young people and in our generation, because that worked. It worked because they didn't like it, but something changed. And the only way these things ever change is if we, the people,
that's right,
come together collectively and send a message. Because our politicians are cowards, many of them.
Yes.
You know, they really are not going to do what's right unless you force them. Because their goal is to remain in that cushy job that they have.
Yes.
So they really don't want to upset the apple cart.
Yeah. And you don't know where their campaign contributions are coming from all the time.
Yeah, so well, they're for sale.
Yeah.
And when your elected officials are for sale, Democrats and Republicans, I'm sorry, are for sale. And so when they don't have to tell you anymore where they get their money from, mm-hmm. Don't tell me about democracy. Because democracy is gone.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, it really is. If I don't know where you get your money from, and you don't have to tell me where you get your money from, and so
let's say the defense industry, they spend $113 million a year lobbying. Well, how can we ordinary citizens spend $113 million lobbying? And the pharmaceutical company and the fossil fuels companies, and they're all spending these hundreds of millions of dollars, and we are losing our influence. So we have to take the money out of politics.
Well, we're not ever going to be able to take it out now, because the people who put it there have an excess of money, and they're going to continue to do that. So, I mean, I wish you were right, and unless we are organized and we realize that we the people are the government. You know, there was a time that we believe that we the people are the government. I don't know if we believe that anymore, right? And yeah. and maybe that's a pipe dream now. But the only way that can ever be changed if we become a collective and one voice. And I don't see that happening. But
what we did with the Black Lives Matter protest, we were united under that. But it just didn't keep going. It's very hard to keep the momentum going on any protest.
Yeah, you know, and that was a good thing. But when you're taking on the military-industrial complex that Dwight Eisenhower back in 19...
And the prison-industrial
complex. Big-time resources. And so they're not willing to give that up easily. Listen, we've got to go to a break. Thank you. It is a pleasure meeting you. And what I want to do is with you and Jim, we'll set up a time where I'll bring the radio station to something that you guys are doing. And we'll do a live broadcast from something that you guys might organize. Peace Action Wisconsin is in the house. We are at Mazomania, Wisconsin Grassroots Network 14. Wisconsin Grassroots Network rally is going on, and a special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. I'll be right back.
Thank you, Earl. Do what you want to do.
I can tell you who to say. Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Watching Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Once again, we're broadcasting live from Wisconsin Grassroots Network here in Mazomania. It's a special edition of the Earl Ingram Show, and my next guest is Miss Mary Sanderson. She's
I'm with the Alliance.
Alliance
for Just Money.
Alliance for Just Money. Tell us a little bit about the Alliance for Just Money.
Well, I really appreciated the conversation you were just having with Pam and with Jim, because talking about war and how come we have nuclear weapons but no help for people who need regular help, underneath all these things that we care about is the system that generates and controls the money. And all the money is debt. And the people who issue the debt are the bankers. And war has been profitable for a few hundred years. And when things go bad for the bankers, oh, we're going to have a war.
So the American people, they don't teach us this in school.
No, they do not.
Right. And so they don't teach us these things. We're trusting as a people. And we think that our government is going to do the right things for us. And that's our mistake. Because they should be doing the right thing for us, right? We're the citizens.
But they're captured in the same system. Our government has really been taken over by the finance sector.
Yes.
And this is where the Alliance for Just Money wants people to understand that it is systemic and it's been going on for these few hundred years. And the amount of power that the finance sector has now is the accumulation of power from being the issuers of the money for their preferred causes for a few hundred years.
Right.
They're sucking wealth out of every community. They suck wealth from the resources because everybody has to pay interest. They create the principal when you borrow for your car. Nobody creates the interest. You have to go out there and try to get interest from what somebody else borrowed.
So here's a prime example. We're heading towards recession.
Yeah.
And many people aren't aware of it. And it's at one of the worst times that it can possibly occur. They determine how much the interest rates are going to be. They determine whether or not they're going to slow the economy down or speed it up. Not to what's in the best interest and benefit of the American people.
Exactly.
But to a handful of people.
Exactly.
Who are able to control not just this country, but the world.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And when there's boom times and they can make a lot of loans and there's a lot of money circulating and everybody thinking things are good and paying that interest, then they're collecting the interest. It's just an income stream. Now, when suddenly things start to look a little fishy and nobody wants to borrow or you're not sure, then recession. And in recession, the bankers get the collateral. I grew up on a farm that was lost in the recession of 1988 after four generations,
right.
Because for 20 years, the banker had said to my dad, your land value will cover it. You never mind, you can't get a price for your crops. I can lend you a little more this spring.
Right.
And that's how they cash in when there's the business cycle goes down to recession.
You know, in 2008, the housing crash, they call it the housing crash. The people didn't create the housing crash.
That's right.
And so the people who lost all their homes, it's not because of what they did. It's because of a system.
Predatory system.
Yes. That took advantage of all of those people.
Yes.
And that's why I always say that the threat to this nation is not outwardly. It's inside. The real threat to this nation is inside. And so we don't see that. We don't believe that because, again, we trust that the entities inside of our government are all for what's in the best interest of us, but they're not.
We want to trust. And people who work in government, many, most of them, I had a government job. I was in the post office. People want to do the right thing and make their living honestly. But the system really undermines it. Now, this banking system, it started in the 1694 when the English king first gave the banks the right to issue the public money. And it's been going on. And they never, ever say that it's for the public.
Right.
They don't say that. Well, Bernanke said it once in a limp-ass way. Excuse me.
No, you're fine.
But everyone knows it's not true. What we need is a money system that is purposely set up to work for the common good. We need a medium of exchange that we can all trust and that somebody's not trying to skim the cream off of all the time.
You know, Mary, so what I'd like to say, and it's constantly, this fight is for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Yes.
You and I... fortunately, the world was a little different. It wasn't quite the way it is now. But the way things are set up now, if we don't fight that young man there, if we don't fight for him, shame on us.
We need to find a way to have healing futures. The young people that I know today, including my own children, are kind of enchanted by this dystopic culture.
Right.
Oh, they imagine these horrible futures.
Right.
And we did, you're right, we grew up in a time where we still imagined a beautiful future.
Yeah.
We need to imagine beautiful futures, and we need to figure out how to make them happen. Now, if we could make a lot of people understand that we need a money system with a purpose to serve the commons rather than a purpose to serve the banks and create great fortunes, then our children and grandchildren would be able to think about the future in a more positive way, and we can all together create that.
You know, Mary, I'm sorry, but we're out of time, but I will certainly reach out to you as well and bring you guys on, and we'll have even more dialogue and conversation in the coming weeks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's a great opportunity. I appreciate it, Earl.
Thank you. Thank you. And I want to thank everybody, including Chris, who made all of this possible, and Wisconsin's Grassroots Network, once again inviting us at Civic Media, and especially me with the Earl Ingram Show at 540 AM WAUK. I think that's about it. We got to check out. Kevin, who's up next? Do you know?
Up next, we got the Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. I will see you on Monday. All right. We got to go. See you later.
Look like nothing's going to change. Everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh.
You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app. ABC News.